Right, it's good to be back tonight and really enjoyed the good hospitality, the good meals today. This is really a part of a three-piece suit, but I tried to put the vest on today. Couldn't get it on. And it would fit last week. We'll get back in shape. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I've been preaching, teaching on this week on the subject of a strong, sound, and spiritual mind. Amen. And looking at, wanted to look at these three parts of it in these last 3 days. One is the condition of our minds. That's the basis for understanding and attaining a strong, sound spiritual mind, is to understand, be reminded of the pre-conversion condition of our minds, the fallen condition of our minds. And then the post-conversion, things change when you get saved, your mind changes, you get enabled supernaturally by God, enablement to resist. We have free will. Amen. God would not get glory. It'd just be inconsistent with the wisdom of God for Him to get glory from a robot.
Right.
Amen. And then tonight I want us to look at the contest and the struggle involved with the Christian having a strong, sound, and spiritual mind. And then the Lord willing tomorrow to look at the stewardship involved in that, taking care of our minds. Taking care of our minds. That's our responsibility. We'll be accountable for and are accountable for how we take care the stewardship of our minds. But we're going to read in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. But before we do, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. We thank You to be in Your house. We thank You, dear God, for the good time of prayer that we were able to have before the services. Thank You for those who have been praying for the meeting. And we pray that You would pour out Your blessings tonight in answer to Your people's prayers. Father, I pray that You'd bless Brother Sutton when he comes to preach. Fill him with Your Holy Spirit in a mighty way. And I pray, dear God, You'd open our ears and our hearts to the message. And we pray that You'll give us help that only You can give us tonight. And if there be any here that are lost, they'll be saved. And if there be any here of Your children who are in some sort of bondage or of the mind, I pray that You'll set them free through Your truth. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Paul's writing to Pastor Timothy and indicated here is, here's a good man of God. Paul has a lot of good things to say about him. But he needs some special instruction here, a reminder. Paul says to Timothy, who seemed to have a little bit of a tendency to be a little nervous, a little timid, and that's a good thing, really. But it, like anything else, it can go too far. And Paul wrote to him and said, God, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Please be seated. Now the mind, after we get saved, our mind is still filled. See if you can relate to this. After we get saved, our mind is still filled, especially those of us who are adults. Our mind is still filled somewhat with some old baggage. Some old ideas from the old life, the way we were brought up, things that we experienced in life so far, our perceptions, our preconceived notions about things, things in our thought life that have been collected through the years, and ideas and thought patterns that have become memories, that have become entrenched, that were entrenched during our unsaved years. And after we get saved, the devil wants to take advantage of any of that he can. If you had some problems with your thought life when you were lost, the devil is going to drum those up if he can and try to take advantage of them. Now, he doesn't have to get the victory in that. He's not supposed to get the victory in it. But He will get the victory if we let Him have victory and we're not prepared for this great contest that's always going on in our minds. One way or another, probably everybody here even experienced a little bit of that today. A struggle in the mind. Now I want us to look at the contest or the struggle going on for our minds 24/7. We're saved, we're born again, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, we're on our way to heaven, but we still have a good fight to fight. The devil is still alive and well on planet Earth. And he is using everything at his disposal to fight against us and to make us as inefficient as he can to bring glory to God. So when we think about tonight the struggle for our minds, I want to approach that in two ways. I want us to look tonight at the strategies that are involved in the struggle for our mind. We're going to look at the devil's strategies. Not ours. That's part of the stewardship and care of our mind. God's given us some strategies. But also to look at the stakes that are involved. And the stakes are enormous. Amen. How much we understand the conflict, the contest that is going on, the conflict where our minds are concerned. We've got to understand that as Christian people. And so tonight I want us to look at these strategies and the stakes. But before I say anything about that, I want to stir up all of our pure minds by way of remembrance concerning the agents that are involved in this struggle for our mind. I'm going to mention two. Two categories of agents that are militating against the Christian where his mind is concerned. The first one, very obviously, is wicked spirits.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. I've listened, I've talked to some people, some even Baptists, and they kind of poo-poo the idea of evil spirits and demons. How foolish.
Yes, sir.
How foolish. We have to contend with these wicked spirits. Couldn't be any plainer. Ephesians 6 and 12, Paul said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers." That's who we're wrestling with. And against spiritual wickedness in high places. And let me just say this tonight, because we're talking about believers' minds now. Not all demonic activity is as obvious that it's taking place or has taken place. It's not as obvious as it was, for example, in the life of that demoniac of Gadara.
Right.
Amen. It's not always obvious. Now, sometimes it's pretty obvious, even with saved people. They couldn't possibly be saying the things that they're saying without being acted upon by evil spirits. I told somebody the other day, I said, there are some people that... They people right now in our society, there's no way they could be as stupid as they are without supernatural help. I mean, I'm serious. All this transgender bathroom, all this kind of, you know, same-sex marriage, all of these crazy things, all of these kids in the country, these liberal kids, you know, these not even millennials or anything like that, just elementary grade. And they're going to march and they're going to tell their parents and the adults what to do about gun control. That is the insanity, beloved, of sin.
Yes.
That is the insanity of sin, the outworking of it. But when it comes to Christians being oppressed and their minds or mental faculties coming under the influence of wicked spirits, it's not always real obvious. Sometimes it's real covert. And evil spirits will work like leaven or leaven, whatever it is, in the lump. It can be at work for a long time working on a Christian's mind, and you can't tell anything that's going on.
Right.
Here's how serious that can get. And some of us, if you stop and think, you've seen this. You've experienced it. Wicked spirits are at work, bearing down, subtly, working on a Christian's thought life. And nobody can tell. It's like leaven in the bread.
Right.
Overnight, you can't tell when it's sitting there on the table with a tea towel over it. At night, you get up, you can't tell hardly any difference. The sin process is working on a Christian's mind. Everything looks the same. And then all of a sudden, you see that something, there's a change. Something is different.
Yes.
That mind has been worked on to the extent that now this evil working of spirits on that thought life is manifested when the divorce comes.
Right. Yep. Right.
Amen. When the addiction becomes evident
right.
in that person's life. When you see these kinds of things come into view, some tragedy, and people say, I never saw that coming.
Right.
It's because it was working on the Christian's mind.
Amen.
I think that's why sometimes Christians say they just quit coming to church like they ought to. I know a lot of times that people are just not saved. But I'm going to tell you what. You look at your Bible and you'll find out that Christians can do a lot of pretty low down things. And it's because of the victories that Satan is getting in their minds that he is not supposed to have. Because these demons, they have access to our minds. We're saved, but we're still vulnerable. Now, they have an agenda for our minds. They want to disseminate, to distribute evil thoughts throughout our minds. And then they want to dominate. They want those evil thoughts that they put into the mind. That's why we got to be careful, little eyes, what you see, and little ears, what you hear, and all of that. Because when those evil thoughts get to working in there, the agenda is to have dominance
right. Exactly.
over the thought life.
Yep.
Amen. It's no surprise that Paul is reminding Timothy of this. Preachers really need reminded of this. We've seen a lot of wreckage and carnage and men that you never would have thought it.
Right.
And if it can happen to some of the men that I have seen it happen to, it can happen to anybody. The mind can become a citadel for evil spirits. And once it becomes a citadel for evil spirits, in other words, a stronghold of sorts for evil spirits, then it becomes a conduit of evil thoughts coming and going. God has not given us the spirit of fear, though. This is what God has given us. The spirit of love and of power and a sound mind. So we have to be careful not to give evil thoughts entrance into our mind in the first place. It's a tall order, but it's necessary. In Colossians 2 and 8, Paul said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. What's that in the context of? After the tradition of men, and not after Christ. So we have to be careful not to give entrance to evil thoughts.
Amen.
That's a taller order today than it's ever been in the world we live in.
Yes.
We have to be careful not to give expression to evil thoughts. Now here's what I mean about that. When a person has these bad thoughts in their mind, you want to be real careful not to talk about them. And especially not to get involved in self-talk about them.
Oh, yeah.
Because the more you talk about them, the stronger they get.
That's right.
The less you talk about them. See, that's why Brother Sutton, I heard somebody ask Brother, somebody said to Brother Sutton the other day in the breakfast room at the motel, I know you have lots of counseling. You talking to Brother Sutton? I know you have lots of counseling. I know you do lots of counseling all day long. You're probably counseling. Brother Sutton didn't say a thing. Because I think, Brother Sutton, you're probably like me. I do most of my counseling from the pulpit. I've found that it's not good for people to wallow these things around and talk about them and share. Sometimes you have to have somebody to talk to get good counsel, run some things by them, bounce some things off them, get some direction from the Word of God. But listen, the Bible says that the power of life and death are in the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Amen.
We got to be careful.
Amen.
Here's the second of these agents. There's wicked spirits that the devil uses to attack us in our thought life. But you know what the second one is? Worldly saints.
Yeah.
I am telling you, in a church, you want to be on guard about worldly saints. Be nice, be casual, have a good spirit, but don't hang out with them.
Amen.
I told our churches, I pastor that all the time. Don't hang out with the worldly people in this church. Don't go bowling. Don't go to restaurants. Don't hang with them until they start getting more spiritual.
Amen.
Amen. You can't afford that, because the devil will use worldly saints to get into your head. They'll suggest things to you. You can be just as happy and contented and joyful in the Lord, excited about the things of God. You hang out with a worldly saint in your church, and they may be there all of the time. But you start hanging out with them, before long you'll become discontented.
That's right.
You'll start finding fault.
Yep.
The devil's using them.
Right.
They're his fifth column in the church. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, these are the agents involved in the struggle for our mind. The arena is this world.
Yeah.
And it's a world that is in complete sympathy with our enemy.
Right.
Amen. We are living, brothers and sisters, in enemy territory.
That's right.
Amen. John wanted them to understand that so much. John said, and we know that we're of God, and that the whole world, meaning this world system,
right,
with its fads and fashions and aspirations, the ambitions of the world, the whole world lieth in wickedness. This worldly society is seeped in, saturated in, it's marinating in wickedness. And we're here, we're living here. The Lord has left us in a world like this, not to conform to the world, but to be bright and shining lights.
Amen.
Amen. To be different.
Yes, sir.
To be salt and light in a putrefied world. Amen. We're here for the hope of people who haven't been saved. But this is a rotten, rotten world system. It's a world that is in complete sympathy with our enemy. And listen to this. It is a world that is absolutely committed, under the God of this world, to softening us up. Yeah. That's what this world we're living in wants to do. Soften up the Christian. And boy, he's softened up. A lot of Christians today have become so soft.
Yes, sir.
That's the exact opposite of what the Apostle Paul said. He said, endure hardness.
Yes, sir.
Amen. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But this world has softened the church up. Christians just can't take too much church anymore. They're so soft. They can't be too different from the world anymore, because they're too soft.
Yes,
they can't handle the world looking sideways at them anymore, because they've been softened up, Brother Hall.
Amen.
That's the arena that the world works in.
Yes.
The strategies and the stakes that are involved in the struggle for our minds. You look at this, and I want you to notice that the strategies that are involved in this struggle And the guy behind these tragedies, the person, Satan, think of all the experience he's had.
Yes, sir.
Right. I mean, he has dealt with every type.
Yep.
He knows every personality. He can read people like a book.
Yes, sir.
He's been around for a long, long time.
Amen.
He was there in the garden with Adam.
Right.
He had experience with Eve. He had experience, the story of Samson, the story of David, the story of Job. He has had centuries and millennium of experience.
Right.
In working on God's people's minds.
Yes,
you read there in the book of Job, and look at his strategies there. I mean, see if this rings a bell. Here is the best person on earth. There was none like him.
Right.
Job was, I believe the Bible would teach in the first chapter, he was, that God said it, the most godly man on earth today.
Right.
And Satan was allowed to be turned loose on him for a while, and he began to attack him. And he knew how to attack.
Yes, sir.
He attacked him through his finances. Mm-hmm. That got into his mind. Could have. Has the devil ever attacked you as a child of God in the area of finances?
Yes, sir.
Put fear and doubt in your mind or covetousness or greed? The devil attacked Job in the area of finances. He attacked him in the area of his family.
Right.
That's the roughest of all.
Yes,
man, he'll tear you up from the floor up.
Mm-hmm.
If he can, through your family.
Right.
And he attacked Job through his flesh. Remember Job sitting in a pile of rubble, scraping his boils, as sick as he could be? He attacked him in the area of his faith. His wife came along and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?"
Right.
But Job didn't fall for it.
Amen.
He said, "If he kills me, yet I'll serve. If I knew he was going to kill me today, I'd still serve him." And then he attacked, and this is rough too, brother. He attacked him through his friends.
Yep. Right.
And Paul mentioned that. He said, "I've been in danger. I've been attacked by bandits. And I've suffered from lack of food and the cold." And then there was these false brethren.
Yep.
Have you ever had a friend? Have you ever had anybody that you've done everything in the world you could for them? You couldn't believe it when they stabbed you right in the back. Amen. Well, it happens.
Yes, sir.
That happens in life. I went for years and years and years and thought that'd never happen to me. But it did happen to me. More than once. But I'm not any better than my fathers.
Right.
And neither are you.
Right. Amen.
What the devil is doing when he attacks, gets into your mind over finances, or friends, or sickness, or your faith, or any of these things, he is attacking you in your mind, and he really knows how to do it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Think about Satan. He's got more expertise because of all that experience than he's ever had before. He's more talented at getting into people's heads than he ever has been. He has more devices. Paul said, "We're not ignorant of his devices." And he's wilier than he's ever been. He's an expert fowler now. Amen. He knows just where to lay his traps. He knows what appeals to who. Amen. David said in Psalm 91 and verse 3, "It prayed for deliverance from the fowler." One tactic of an enemy is to make you think that he's someplace where he isn't.
Right.
Amen. You read the story of World War II and the Normandy invasion. It's really interesting to see, isn't it, how they built those hundreds of cardboard tanks, plywood planes, and everything else, and made the Axis powers, the Nazis, think that they were going to attack. The attack was coming from over here when actually it was coming from over here.
Right.
You know, that's why we got to have it straight who the enemy is.
Amen.
Where are the enemies at? The enemy is not our mother-in-law or father-in-law. Let me tell you something else. The enemy is not your pastor.
Amen.
If you get to focusing on flesh and blood as the enemy, you got your eyes on the wrong thing.
That's right.
Amen. Well, the devil's strategy is twofold. He wants to, number one, encroach on as much territory as he can, where our minds are concerned. He wants to get as much of our thought life as he possibly can get himself involved in.
Yes, sir.
He wants to encroach on as much space in our minds as he can. Pastoring a church and being a Christian has never been more challenging than it is today. Because the devil is still working, and has so much going for him today to encroach on the territory of our mind. Think about cable TV and the internet and all of the things that there are out there, these cell phones. You know, people are constantly. Manners have gone by the wayside because of cell phones. Amen. You ever been talking to somebody? You're having a conversation with them. Their little phone buzzes and they get it out and... I mean, it's just crazy. But all of this contest for the space in our minds. The devil wants to encroach on as much space as he can. And let me tell you how bad that is. I'll use another example from history. In 1945, Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Joseph Stalin and Winston Churchill met at Yalta. And the war was about over. And the reason those men met there was to divide up Europe. And of course, Stalin and the communists came out way ahead of where they should have. And they did this secretly. But they divided it up and they ceded territory. Gave up territory they had no business giving up. And for decades, people in Eastern Europe and East Germany, and so on and so forth, for decades, they suffered and terrible human misery because of that territory that was given up.
Right. Yeah.
Now think about giving up territory in your mind as a father, as a mother. That's why I said the other night, these people say, I'll just give them a piece of my mind. Well, you can't afford to do that.
Right.
A lot of people I know, they can't afford to give any piece of their mind at all up. They need every bit of it that they have. I remember how angry I got back when Jimmy Carter gave away the Panama Canal and put our national security at risk when he did it. He ceded territory that 102 years before that, we had spent 10 years and $375 million, can you believe it? $375 million, that's equivalent to about $9 billion today, on that canal. And he just gave that up. And it was strategically important to us. Well, the mind, space in the mind, can be given over and given up to the devil. You know what? That's why we want to be careful. See, when preachers preach against television, either, you know, just be very careful with it or don't have it. Or when preachers preach against, now not all preachers like this. Some preach against television because they don't have anything else to preach.
Yeah,
and you can tell if you know them very long. That's like some, they preach against smoking and a lot of these things, pants and everything like that, because they don't have anything else to preach. But a lot of us are preaching against things like that, not because we don't have anything else to preach, but because it's very significant and serious, and it's whole, part of the whole picture that the flock, that the sheep, do not let Satan encroach on space in their minds. We are not our own. We're bought with a price. And that includes every iota of our being, including our minds. Again, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. God's concerned about our minds. Now, the amount of demonic activity allowed to be carried out in our minds depends on how much ground the enemy has to operate on. Let's never forget this. Howsoever much space we've given to the devil in our minds right now, howsoever much it is, Brother Joshua, he'll build on it.
Yes, sir, he will.
Amen.
Right. Yes, sir.
There's a lot of ways to give grounds to give ground to evil spirits. One way is to have an unrenewed mind.
Right.
We get our minds renewed by going to church. Reading the Bible.
Amen.
Having good conversation about the things of God. You can give up ground in your mind if you don't do those things.
Right.
We can give up ground in our minds if we allow ourselves to be around lies and deceit. Mm. Amen. Let me just tell you how bad it is today. I was talking to somebody last week, and he was telling me about the church that he went to, and I know this man, and he was telling me about the church he went to, and I don't remember the denomination. It wasn't a Baptist, but it was a fairly fundamental, I guess, if there's such a thing as fairly fundamental. But he said that, it's an Assembly of God, it doesn't matter what it was. But he said we had a real problem with the pastor. He said we had the pastor. Well, and you know who the guy I was talking to is? James Watts. Does anybody ever remember the head of the Department of the Interior under Reagan, James Watts? Well, I met him out in Arizona. I was talking to him. Had made his acquaintance before. And he was telling me, he said, Brother Kirkman, I had to contact the superintendent. And I told him, I said, we have problems with the pastor. And he listed off a bunch of serious things. And the guy said, we have a moral problem. He said, we have a moral problem with the pastor here. And he said, what is it? And he listed off these things. And there's no sexual inappropriateness. There's nothing like that. No, it's not that. He said, well, where's the moral problem? He didn't even know what moral means.
Right.
If you're a liar, you're immoral.
Right. Exactly.
If you steal money from the church, it's immoral.
Right.
But here is the big mucky wuck of this denomination that didn't even know what moral is.
Right.
That's where we are today.
Yes,
you give ground when you hang around lies and deceit. I feel sorry for for many people who are in churches where they're hanging around a bunch of lying and deceit.
Yes, sir.
I don't care what anybody says, they need to get out of them.
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 101, verse 7, the psalmist said, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house, God said. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. It doesn't matter if it's lying in the pew or lying in the pulpit. Psalm 120 and verse 2, he said, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. Because that's dangerous to the mind. Now, I haven't gotten nearly halfway through this, but that's okay. I took about 8 weeks to preach on this at home. But I want to make this clear. You know, they brought dancing into the church and comedy routines and all. You know what? Now they're bringing in things like yoga. Somebody told me about a Baptist church they went to not long ago, and they've just started introducing yoga classes. The whole idea behind something like yoga is to get your mind just as blank as it can be. That's what it's all about. That's what cultists want to do. They want to get people to be just as blank as they can be. That's what they do when they have these seances. They say, now sit here until your mind is perfectly blank. As blank as you can get it. I'm just going to step out on a limb a little far here. Let me just say this. God does not work with a blank slate. God talks to us about stirring up our minds.
Right.
Filling our minds with good thoughts and the good Word of God.
Yes,
God wants our minds to be active.
Yes,
He works with a spiritually active mind. The devil works with a blank mind.
Yes,
that's why when you go to a service, you want to be careful when the whole idea is to just completely, how do I put this? Let your mind completely go. Some of the crazy stuff.
Yeah.
I believe in getting happy in the Lord, and I believe in shouting and other things like that. But sometimes you know it and I know it, it goes way too far.
Right.
And I like what Brother Sutton said the other night. When people go to church, it's to get the Word of God.
Amen.
It's to worship God.
Sure.
It's not to distract throughout by standing on your head.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Or leaping and falling and jumping around and acting crazy.
Amen.
Is that not the truth?
Amen.
Amen. So, we're told to give no place to the devil. Paul prayed for the Ephesian church like this. Ephesians 1 and 18, he said, I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Give no place for the devil in your mind. Because if he gets a little place, he will squeeze into it and make a bigger place out of it. He'll start touching your emotions.
Yep.
Then he'll start touching your volition, your will. Satan wants to put things in our minds. He put it in Judas's mind. Amen. The Bible says in John 13 and 2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot,
yep,
Simon's son, to betray you. See, this is the way the devil works. He wants to put things into our minds.
Yep.
And he wants to pull thoughts out of our minds. That's why when you come to church and the Lord convicts and puts things on your mind while you're listening to the Word of God, be careful that you don't get 1 foot outside the sanctuary and immediately get embroiled in something political or something about sports or something like that. And that's one of the ways the devil has of coming and snatching things out of your mind. We need to retain these things.
Amen.
The devil knows how to pull things out of our mind. Satan can block thoughts and keep us from thinking a truth through. The devil wants to push certain kinds of thinking, push it out of our minds. Brother Hall, I was thinking about this. One of the very effective ways that the devil has of encroaching on people's minds today is through getting us to occupy our minds with amusements. Now I want you to just think about that word. I'm almost done. Amusements. What do you think of when you think of the word muse? While I mused, my heart burned, Jeremiah says. Now most of us know this. In the ancient language, if you put an A in front of that word, it makes it the opposite. So amusement really means not to think.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
All of these multi-million-dollar ball stadiums,
yeah,
all of this, all these amusements, grown men and women wearing their sports paraphernalia and running off to NASCAR and all of this stuff, Christian people, that is non-think activity. I'm not sorry. Amusements are the devil's Agent Orange. Mm-hmm. To use on a Christian's mind to prevent any good growth in a Christian's mind. That's what Agent Orange was for, was it not, Brother Hall? To defoliate an area so that nothing lush, no growth there.
Amen.
That's where all these amusements are.
That's right.
Amen. These grown adults buying their games. I was preaching a revival up around New York one time, and one of the men that was in the church, he was probably close to 40 at the time, and he got under conviction. And he was lost. And I was talking to him in the back room, and he was weeping and everything else, but he wouldn't give in. He wouldn't get saved. Here's what he said. He said I would have to give up so much. I looked at him real good and I thought, what in the world's he got to give up? I wonder. You know what he said? I said, what are some of the things you'd have to give up? And he said, all my video games. Selling his soul for video games. Now there is a lost person whose eyes the devil has blinded. But what about all these Christians and church members playing with all their video games? And spending all this money and time running off to all of these amusements, which means non-think. Amen. That's just what the word means. God leads a Christian by influencing his spirit, his intellect, his mind. The medium he does that through primarily is the Word of God. The devil wants to play that. Boy, I wish I had a little bit more time, but I'm not going to take any more time because I got all the time I needed. The devil has a lot of Trojan horses, brothers.
Yes, sir.
Amen. A lot of Trojan horses. There's a whole list of them. There's a whole bunch of them. To get into our minds.
Yes,
pulls them right into our mind. Fascination with pleasure. Materialism. Music. I'll just take up from here tomorrow night, the Lord willing. Amen. Our minds. Our minds. God hath not given you that spirit of fear you've had, that anxiety. I was listening to the testimony by the young woman a while ago, and I was thinking, because I've been through it myself, almost the same thing. Boy, the devil will just inject fear,
yes, sir,
and doubt and anxiety.
Yes, sir.
But then, if we've been taking care enough of our mind, we'll get over that.
Right.
We'll be like the prodigal son. Come to our right mind.
Amen.
And we'll remember, he who has his mind stayed on thee,
amen,
and keep him in perfect peace.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.